Names in the ancient world meant so much more than they do now. A person's name was carefully chosen because the name was intended to make a statement. And I think this one will be remembered for us. It might have been a statement about the person's essential self. A name was sort of a mini personality profile, a kind of character reference, if you will. And so in today's passage of Scripture, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying, or he's predicting, the arrival of the Lord's anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ child. And we may recall that the context of this was one of darkness. And the scriptures in Isaiah today reminded us of that, both when Isaiah was prophesying and when Jesus was being born. Israel was invaded by Assyria, to a very ferocious nation at the time, in the book of Isaiah. And then Israel suffered Roman occupation, a very brutal regime, during the birth of Christ. And so the people of Israel were in darkness at both times, when the prophecy was being written and then when it was coming to fruition many, many centuries later. And the people were needing hope. And Isaiah's writings were an attempt to point the people to hope as he was speaking the word that God gave him to the people of Israel at the time. And the thing is that these words continue to live out to give us light in a time of darkness. Isaiah declares that this child will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at each of these four names. And today, we'll be examining a Wonderful Counselor. My hope is that this series will give us hope as we begin a new year with Jesus, our Messiah, Jesus, our Christ, our Lord and Savior, especially when we are in times of deep need and hope. We find ourselves sometimes taken by darkness. Wonderful Counselor. Taken from the original language in Hebrew, Wonderful Counselor literally translates to a wonder of a counselor. So what does this name mean? Let's take a look at it in the two parts that it is in English. Well, the Hebrew word wonderful indicates a phenomenon lying outside the realm of human explanation. That which is separated from the normal course of events. The same word is used in Psalm 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. In other words, it describes something miraculous, something unexpectedly unique, but it's amazing. It's positive. It inspires delight, admiration, and awe. That's what wonderful is supposed to mean. We often have a low view of the miraculous because miracles have been explained away by the miracles of science. And therefore, we're given a limited sense of wonder. Does our sense of wonder go beyond all human explanation? Well, I wonder if it does. I wonder if the miracles and successes of science and technology has actually robbed us of our ability to worship a God of miracles, because we want an explanation behind everything. For example, how do we know that the weather is going to be what it was last night? If you're like me, you're just going to look at the weather app on your phone. And you'll say, hey, at 2 a.m., it's going to start coming down. Now, if you're like my wife, you're going to say, just look outside the window. Open the door. And take a look outside. Or for instance, a sense of the miraculous can be something like when you're looking at the artwork that your daughter has created and you go, hey, I didn't know you drew a picture of me. And go, wow, my own daughter made that. And I was able to recognize what she made. That's, to me, Interesting. And you know, with Sarah, she could have taken on landscapes. She could have taken on stick people. She decided to draw the most difficult thing to draw, which is portraits, a face. Like, wow, that inspires awe in me. It might be even looking at the pictures of a newly born infant. And so, Matthew and Ellen, you live on in the next generation as you look at this baby and say, wow, are those my eyes? Is that my nose? We'll find out in a couple months, maybe in a few years. Do we honestly believe that the greatest miracles are come from behind victories by our favorite sports teams? Or the latest in technological wizardry? Or the wonder drug that saves the rarest of human disease and malady? It could be. But all of those things can be explained in some way. But a real wonder is something beyond human explanation. And the prophet Isaiah declared that the coming Christ would be a wonder. This not only describes what he does, it describes who he is. He's a wonder. Jesus himself is the wonder. And he's a counselor like no other has ever seen before. One who is unique and miraculous. One who inspires delight and admiration and awe. So let's take a look at the word counselor. In its historical usage, the word pictured an advisor in all matters relating to life, especially with respect to the king, such as the evil Grand Vizier, as we see here if you're interested in Disney and interested in the movie Aladdin. And this is Jafar, who is the evil counselor to the king. Sometimes that's what we think of, some evil diabolical mind behind the person in authority. But the word from the historical biblical account perspective also pictures a king giving counsel to his people. That's what counselor was in the biblical times. Micah declared the dilemma of the Jewish captives in Babylon this way, and Micah 4:9 says, "Now, why do you cry aloud?" he writes. "Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished?" And so we know that the kings gave counsel to his people. Long before the child was born and the son was given, Isaiah prophesied or predicted that God was planning to send a counselor for the brokenhearted, including those who have lost lives and lost relatives or are in mourning with those who are suffering loss, just like those who've lost loved ones in Tehran. It affects many of us here in Canada. What is the evidence that Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor? We see it fleshed out in a person, capital P, the person of Jesus. We read of and we reflect on an appeal for help from the one who became for us wisdom from God. When we take all that we know about God's anointed one, the Christ, it adds up to a marvelous truth that he is the God who is a wonder of a counselor, the one that we have sung about so well this morning. So let's briefly touch on God's wonder and God's counsel. First, his wonder. If a wonder is anything that excites amazement, then it describes everything about the one who came in fulfillment in Isaiah's prophecy. In 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul expressed the wonder of the Christ who clothed himself in human flesh. You could read with me. "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory." Those are the words of Timothy. The wonder of this brief statement disturbs philosophers. It delights those who are poor and comforts those who are brokenhearted. What Jesus did for us in his redeeming work is beyond comprehension. Imagine what it will mean to enjoy for all time in eternity a loving relationship with the Creator, the Son of Heaven, who became sin for us. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5. Just think about this for a moment. the Son, who is God in every way, was still willing to bear our just deserts for sin. The very one who knew no sin, who we sang about this morning, he became sin for us. Now that should stir our hearts in a little bit of wonder. How can that be? Someone who knew no sin became sin for us because of his love for us, that he wanted to take our place and give himself up for us. That is wonder. Let's look at his counsel. Even as a tender child of 12, and if you have ever had a 12-year-old or remember yourself at 12, gotta wonder what was going on in Jesus' mind when he astounded Jewish rabbis with his wisdom. You can find that story in Luke 2. Luke recorded that the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As he grew older in his public life, people were simply amazed at his wise counsel. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works, his miracles?" Later, the Apostle Paul wrote that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Colossians 2. So are we astonished? Are we as astonished at the wonder of a counselor as Isaiah was? And are we captivated by his charm, by his insight and practical genius as he ministered to the people around him? Where else can we be so assured of the acceptance and forgiveness and comfort of this very God? It is the person of God in Jesus Christ. Well, what is the importance of the name Wonderful Counselor to believers today? Because the Wonderful Counselor is also our Creator and Savior, and because he is the fulfillment of all that is both Old and New Testaments, he lives it all out. He fulfills the Scripture. His counsel is found wherever we can find the words and provisions of God. The Old Testament is his story. The New Testament Gospels are the record of his interactions with the people of his day. The letters of the rest of the New Testament represent the practical application of his teaching to life. And so consequently, both Old and New Testaments aren't just his story, but they're actually our story as we discover who God is, as we interact with him and him with us. So how then does our Wonderful Counselor help us with our problems and lead us to a place of security or satisfaction and maybe even a place of enjoyment? God helps us through his word and prayer as we interact with him, as we talk with him. Psalm 119, verse 24 says, "Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors." God speaks to us through his word. And I hope and pray that you open up your Bibles between today and Saturday. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should talk to God. Ask him, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Talk to God. Continue to have that conversation with him. He's listening. God helps us with our problems, and he leads us by reminding us that there is safety in a multitude of good counselors, which you'll find in Proverbs 11. "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." So my friends, I hope that you have many friends, counselors, advisors with whom you can share the burdens that you carry. Don't leave it on just one person. Most of all, God helps us with the assurance that because of who he is, he can help us in ways that go far beyond our ability to understand or even our own limitations or complex and horrific situations. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." We can trust this God who loves us. Christ is able to give us the needed direction for life, and how thankful we should be that Isaiah spoke of a wonderful counselor who is also rightly named the Mighty God. And we will look at Jesus as the Mighty God next Sunday. But for now, as I call those who are helping lead and serve communion to come forward, let us pray together. Would you bow with me? And so if you're leading and serving communion, please come forward. Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us a new depth of vision to understand the mysteries and the miracles of your revelation. You're coming to us, and the word that you've left with us to encourage us, and the spirit that dwells within all who believe in you. Thank you for these miracles. Let us grasp the full revolution brought about by your reign, your upside-down kingdom. Let us absorb the wisdom of your ancient story, which sets aside the domination of kings like Herod and world powers, and ushers in kings who worship and who surrender, who are awed by the dimensions of your wonderful counsel. Give us also, Lord, a spirit of celebration so we can revel in the magnitude of your joy and your renewal of the human heart and spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.